Good morning. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us today. Brother Billy texted me and said he'd be cruising back down Zach Mill after a little bit. He'd run a little bit behind. So he'll be...
He's still on a cruise.
Yeah, he's still on a cruise. So he'll be cruising on in after a while if everything goes okay. But thank the Lord we've been able to make it this morning. Fellowship together, and I do thank you for your presence. I haven't had a chance to look at the bulletin. You got to look at those activities that's going to take place during the week and coming month. So we'd ask you to continue to pray one for another, because that's one of the most important things that we do as a body of believers, is those concerns we have for each other, and bringing those names up before the Lord. Prayer goes a long ways, and we know that, because we've seen the results of it. But I do thank you for being here, and thank you to all those who are listening in by the way of our media. The Lord bless you also. I was thinking about it the other day, and thinking about those that... age has caught up with them. They're not unable to be with us in service anymore. Mr. Joyce Gregor and Ms. Doris Langdon and Ms. Becky Clifton, you know, and the line goes on and on. But we hear from them occasionally. And Sister Lori's, you know, can't be with us like she used to, and that's like it is with Francis. You know, age catches up with us. But we are thankful that we have a means so they can also worship with us as they listen in. So if you bow with them in just a word of prayer, and then we'll continue into the book of Revelation and look at it together. Lord, again today, we open your precious word. And Lord, again, we know that within ourselves we can absolutely do nothing that would bring justice to your precious word. The truths there are given to us by your precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, we'd ask that you would lead, guide, and direct this day, that you'd open our minds and our hearts to the truths that are therein, and help us to understand, thus saith the Lord, as is written. And Lord, for those who cannot be with us today but have so much desire to be here, we ask that you'd bless them and give them comfort and watch over them and care for them. We thank you that you've given us the strength and the ability to be here. And we thank you, Lord, because you have saved us by your marvelous grace. We have become one of your children. You have planted your precious Holy Spirit in our hearts. We have that desire to come and worship together and feed on your precious word and enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that opportunity today. Ask that you'd bless now through the Sunday school hour and all parts of it, and then the worship service, as you bless a man to open your precious word. Walk with us this day, that we might be better prepared to walk with you as we travel life's journey. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Revelation chapter number 17. We'll do something this morning and do a little bit of comparison. Now, you know, we've always said that everything that God is, Satan wants to be. And if we look at our lesson this morning, we will be seeing those comparisons as we look at the true church and we look at the devil's church. So in Revelation, the 17th chapter, if you allow me, I'm going to begin to read again in verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, I want you to follow the procedure as we go on down through this. Now, in this first verse, it talks about a great judgment. And it talks about a whore or a harlot. And then it talks about that sitteth upon many waters. Now, all those things that we see here are symbols of a part of Satan's church. So let me read through these verses, and then we want to come back and begin to sort out those things that we have written here about this harlot church. In verse number 2, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away, he that angel carried John away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw. So when the angel carried him away in the spirit in the wilderness, what did he see? He said, I saw a woman representing something. And she's sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. All right, now, put this in mind for just a moment. We're less in farming country than we used to be, but we're still in the farming community. See a lot of horses. See a man riding a horse or a woman riding a horse. Well, in this particular case, it's a beast. Now, this beast represents something. It'll describe this beast for just a moment. But this beast is not a beast like a horse that we see. This beast is an individual. Now, it says the woman is where? She's sitting on the beast. Now, that's important. That remember that she's sitting on the beast. Man sitting on the horse, who's in control of the horse? Is the horse in control, or is the man sitting on the horse in control? Okay, now in this particular case, when we began the study of the harlot church, she's the one that's, if you want to say so, calling the shots. She's the priority right now. So now I want to think about that. So just keep that in mind. She represents something. The beast represents something. And she's sitting on the beast. Okay? And he said there's a scarlet-colored beast. It's full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. That's hard to picture, but if you want a picture of something like a lion or a tiger or something like that, that figurehead body, and then you're going to have seven heads and 10 horns coming out. That's a weird looking thing. But all this represents something. That's the reason we see it like that. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. That's a heck of a tag to want on you, is it not? Mystery Babylon. And notice it says the mystery of Babylon the Great. And it says the mother, so we have that woman again, of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. Now let's do a little bit of comparison as we look at this together. Let me read you something over in Ephesians. I'm going to try not to hurry through this. I want to just take my time this morning, if you allow me to. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Now, remember, let's go back and let me call your attention again to verse number 5. It says, the mystery, Babylon the Great. The mysterious Babylon the Great. What is this thing? All right? I'll read you a few verses over in Ephesians. We said we're going to look at the church of God, and we're going to look at the church of Satan. The duplicate, counterfeit, imposter, everything that God is, Satan wants to be. And he wants to have the same thing that Christ and God have had through eternity. And he's working on it. So let's see what he's doing in this Babylonian church. That's what it is. Okay? Now notice it says the mystery of this church I'm going to talk to you about. But now in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, let's begin reading in verse number 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentile. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the what? The mystery. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that I look over in the book of Revelation and Satan has put that same tag name on his church. He says, the mystery, as I have wrote before in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the what? The mystery of Christ. Now, how do we know and understand those things about Christ? Paul says we read and study, and it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the mystery of the dispensation of grace that we live in today, the establishment in the New Testament of the church of God. Now, over in Matthew, if you look in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, now remember we're making these comparisons. We're looking at God's true and Satan's counterfeit. Just keep that thought in mind. 13th chapter, Matthew, and we look at verse number 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. And here he says, it's mysteries. And as we look, as God did his mighty work in the beginning, and the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost came and established the what? That's the establishment of the church of God. And what we see represented here in Revelations, the 17th chapter, as we look here together this morning, is the establishment of another church and the details of that establishment of another church. But what we're seeing is God's church is already established. So what we're seeing here is how Satan and Antichrist established their church to mimic and to mock that God already has. Now remember that we're in the book of Revelation. We're in the tribulation period. We're in the point now that the church has been raptured. So now the door is open for Antichrist to rule and reign and establish his church in this world that we live in. And that's exactly what we see that he begins to do as we look here at this together. Now, when we look at the church of God, we have Christianity. When we look at Satan's church, what do we have? We have a counterfeit of Christianity. We don't have that devotion to God like we do in Christianity, but we have a devotion to Satan and to Antichrist. Remember, we counterfeit. Now, if we look at in Revelations, the 21st chapter, let me read just a thing or two there for you. And let's look and think on the Church of Christ for a moment. In the 21st chapter, and we begin to read in verse number 2. And it says, I, John, saw. Now, the same John that saw what we've just read about here in chapter number 17 is the same John that's seeing this. What does John see here? He says, I saw what? A holy city. Now, we've just read about the great Babylon. Does anything sound holy about that? There's nothing that sounds holy about what we're seeing described in chapter 17. But John says that in God's domain, there's a holy city, a new Jerusalem. And it's a city. So what has Satan done? He's a duplicate. So now he has the mystery Babylon. And Christ has the holy city, Jerusalem. He says, a holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from God. Where'd it come from? Out of heaven, prepared as a what? As a bride. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So see, here we have a bride mentioned. Well, a bride to what? A bride to woman, right? Well, who have we got sitting on that beast in chapter number 17? We've got a woman sitting on it, don't we? Now, let's go back one more step in this. We have the church, and it is the bride of Christ. We have this woman, it's the counterfeit of Christ. And it's Satan's bride. The wife has a holy city, the new Jerusalem. And this woman has a mystery city, the Babylon, the great. See the comparison? He wants to be just like God is, and he's working as hard as he can to accomplish that. The difference is that in that New Jerusalem, in that 21st chapter in that second verse. He saw the holy city and he saw the new Jerusalem, and where did it come from? It came from God, came out of heaven, and is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Who's the bride of Christ? The saints, you and I. We are the bride of Christ, adorned for her husband, adorned for Christ. Now, when we look at this harlot church and this imitation church, we have a woman, but she's a harlot. She's a bride. She's not a lamb. But she's the bride of Antichrist. She's not of a holy place. She's of an abominable place. And there's nobody that's going to be a part of this Babylonian city that's been bought by the blood of Christ. It's not a holy place of the blood-bought saints, but it's a habitation of the demons and every foul spirit. The devil is a quack, an imitator, a liar, but he's not a weakling. You keep that in mind. He is not a weakling, but he's subtle. We know that to be true. He's dangerous. He's an impostor. His ambition is to overthrow the Almighty God. He wants his throne. He started out in the beginning to do that, and he's fighting for that to this day. He just can't quit, and he can't give up, and he will not quit until God puts him in hell for eternity. And as long as he has any strength and ability, he's going to be totally contrary and against God Almighty. He's never going to learn that he cannot defeat him until he's burning in hell. So you've got the devil in God's place. You've got Antichrist, imposter of Jesus. You have the false prophet, imposter of the Holy Spirit. So now let's go back to 17 again and look at a few things together about this woman. We want to go back and forth now with a few verses here. Now, let's go back to verse number 1 and look at this situation and what's happened. Now, what I want you to do is think about it on this light. What Satan is allowing to take place is a universal religion. Universal religion, totally contrary to the Word of God. The true church of Christ has been raptured. The door's wide open for Satan in the tribulation period. And now he is in the process of establishing a universal harlot church full of demons, full of devils, and evil spirits. And he, because now listen, where did we say that the woman was? She's sitting on the beast. The beast, now remember, represents Antichrist. So who's supporting the woman? The beast is supporting the woman in what is to be accomplished, in what is being accomplished. So he has given his total support now to her. He's put her on a pedestal, and she's going to work. But now let's look. God says, yes, she's going to go, but it's going to be judgment because I'm going to judge that great whore. And notice God don't call her a church either, does he? He calls her for what he is, what she is. She's an abomination, totally against everything that God stands for. But he says she's a great whore that sitteth upon the waters. And what does that mean? Well, look down at verse number 15 for just a moment. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are what? Are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So what's she going to be? She represents a universal church that's a mockery of the true church of God. And this is going to be over all peoples and nations of the world. And they're going to follow her. She's going to be the it, so to speak, of her time. And Satan and Antichrist are supporting her, that she might establish this universal Satan church. That's all it is. It's going to be a satanic church. He said, and with whom? And with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So who now have the kings of the earth? Who have they united with? Who are they following? They are following her. And they're partaking of those all those things that come out of the satanic church. And you're talking about a hell on earth, that's what it is. The devil is reigning in all his authority at this particular time. Because now you notice that the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So the focus is on her and her religion, so to speak. And that's what we're seeing take place. So he carried me away into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. So here is that woman, and she's sitting upon that beast. And it's a scarlet-colored beast, and he's full of names of blasphemy, and has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand. So she's exalted now. She's the it, so to speak. You look at the apparel that she's apparel. She has on her that scarlet colored and purple. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And she's got a golden cup in her hand. But that golden cup is certainly not full of the blessings of God, because it says that it's full of the abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. We think we've seen sin in the world that we live in today. We've not seen anything compared to what this is going to be like. And she's proud of it. So what does it say here? Upon her forehead was a name written. So she's displayed it in full color. What's written there? Mystery Babylon the Great. Notice it says, Mystery Babylon the what? The Great. The authority, so to speak. The mother of harlots. A mother does what? She gives birth, don't she? So we see this represented here. She's the birth of the harlots. She's the mother of harlots. An abomination. And notice that's got an S on it, of the earth. And he said, I saw the woman. And how is she? What is she drunk with? What is she having pleasure in? What is she having a party with? You know, we have that statement today. Let's go out and party. A lot of times you tie what to that? Tie getting drunk, don't you? It says here, she's just having a party. She's having a party and she's enjoying all the murder that's taking place in the satanic world and under her satanic church. And who is she going after? Now you look and see, look who it says she's going after. She's drunken with what? With the blood of the saints. And with the blood of the martyrs of who? Of Jesus Christ. So it tells us who she's going after. She's going after all those who do not take the mark of the beast. You know, we talk about, we go back to, what is it, the sixth chapter of Revelation, and it talks about the horses, you know, the white horse, the red horse, and the pale horse, and the black horse. And all those symbolic things. And see, we're down now into the pale horse and the black horse. You know, if you can't buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. And then that's going to bring black horse of death. You're going to die during the process of that tribulation period. You know, there's no way in the world that we cannot sit and stand here today and have any close comprehension of what this is going to be like. We can't imagine what it's going to be like. You know, I was looking this past week with some of the pictures you see, you know, of the conflict that we've got with the nation of Israel. And some of the things you see there and you say how awful and terrible that looks. That's not a drop in the bucket. What's this going to be like? But they got to remember now, there's another thing in this. How many times have we seen already, as we've studied through the book of Revelation, that it says men have a desire to do what? To die and what? And can't. It says they gnaw their tongues in pain and can't die. Go into the rocks and the mountains and ask them to fall on them. And it won't happen. They have a tremendous desire to die and get out of the pain and suffering, but it will not happen because God says no. Judgment. You're suffering the judgment that comes with the Nile. And here it says she's well on the way with all this because she's drunken. And you know, the thing that we look at here is, it says that she's drunken with what? With the blood of the saints and of the martyrs of Jesus. God let them get out of the punishment, didn't he? He let those who did not have the mark of the beast, those who stand up for the name of Christ, he said there's a way for you to get out of it. And he allowed them to get out of it. And the blood's on her hands. And she's in enjoying it because she's partying over it and what she's done to those who trust in Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the what. Here's mystery again. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. I was thinking about how blessed we are to live in the United States of America. I personally don't think it's near the country that it used to be, because we're going farther and farther toward the time that this woman can take over real easy. You know, when this, you go back, one nation under God, are we that way now? We look at our money and we put in God we trust. Do we trust God? No, we're a long ways from a nation that we used to be. We're a long ways from the nation that we were when our Constitution was written. And men prayed over it, and they prayed to the God that they knew as they established this nation. And this nation's been blessed, and I think one reason this nation's been blessed because God used this nation to carry his work on, to establish his church and carry the gospel over the world. But see, we're getting to the point now that even in this nation, we're getting farther and farther away from God. And when the rapture of the church takes place, it ain't going to be no big deal to a whole lot of people. But it's going to be a big deal pretty quick when all these things that we see take place in Revelation begin to happen. And he says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to tell you about these things, about this beast and this woman that's sitting on the beast. And he said, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go in perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life. Now I want you to notice this next statement. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. From what? God knew one day the Holy Spirit was going to deal with me. And he knew before this world was ever in existence, but when it dealt to me, I would yield to the call. My name had been written there a long time. How about yours? Have you yielded to the call of the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit told you that you was a sinner, doomed and damned to an eternal hell? You didn't ask the Lord through Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, that you're going to die and go to hell. If you've not, your name not written. And you'll suffer these things that we're seeing. What if the rapture of the church took place right now? Where would you be? Would you be greeted? By Christ? Would you see his face? Or would you be left here to suffer the tribulation period? The hell of the tribulation period that don't even compare with the lake of fire. Yes, it's great that we're studying this morning. But the most important thing this morning is, are you sure that you will not participate in what we are studying this morning? You won't be a participator, but you will be an onlooker. And you will be in the presence of your Lord and Savior watching the judgment that's going to take place. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a whole lot of pleasure in watching God deal with Satan. That's going to be a whole lot of pleasure. And here, he says, this old dude is cast out of the bottomless pit and goes in perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. There's that written in the book of life. That name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. But time's going, we're going to get into this a little bit next Sunday. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. See, it's symbolic. The seven heads are seven mountains on which what? Who's sitting on those? The woman sitting on those. So we want to talk about that in some detail next week. And he says, and there are seven kings, five of them are fallen, one of them is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the who? With the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Lord willing, we're going to talk about all these things next Sunday. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you for being with us. God bless you.